Not Pastor Edmonds' word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, that your word, heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will always be here. Your word is dependable. And so we're asking for the Holy Spirit to take the word of God today and put it in our hearts in such a way that it will transform our lives. Thank you for each mother that's here. And Father, those who may be struggling because their moms are not here. What I do know, Father, is your word tells us that even if our mother or our father forsakes us, the Lord will take us up. Thank you for being the type of father that can give us exactly what we need. So I step back now so the Spirit of God can use me to articulate the things that you would have us to hear. And it's in Jesus' name I pray that everybody say,
amen,
amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, let me give you a warning in advance that this will not be a traditional Mother's Day message. As a matter of fact, I'm in a series, and the series is so important that I am going to continue the series. So if you are a mom in the room, not only is this message for you, but it's going to be for everyone. Amen? So we're in a series called Noise Cancellation. Less noise, hear God. Everybody say less noise and hear God. And the purpose of the series is to identify the noise that is in us or around us, learn how to remove or reduce that noise so that we can hear God's voice better. How many want to hear God's voice better? Amen. So we're on lesson number 5. And sometimes as pastors, we may start a series and it ends up going longer, or should I say going deeper than planned. And so that's what this series is doing. But I said something during prayer this past Wednesday. And if you're not on our Wednesday morning prayer calls, I would encourage you to do that. But this past Wednesday, I said something that I want to repeat. I said many believers have knowledge or have allowed knowledge regarding the Bible to diminish their faith. Since we know the word, I'm talking to older people now, since we know the word or we have knowledge of the word, we feel like we don't need to hear it again because we know it. When hearing the word is how faith works. Faith doesn't come by knowing, it comes by hearing. Everybody say, faith doesn't come by knowing, it comes by hearing. So if I'm repetitious, church, it's only for your faith to grow. Because you can know something in your head and believe it, but not exercise it in your heart. Say amen to that. So today, if you're taking notes, and in fact, if you need a copy of today's notes, just raise your hand and our ushers will provide you with a copy. And if you're watching us, there's a way to download the notes as well. But our message title today, and I believe this is going to bless you, is From Holes to Strongholds. Everybody say, from holes to strongholds. Now, if you were not here last week, or if this is your first time in the series, then let me catch you up briefly, because I want you to take this journey with us this morning. And so what I'm going to do is give you a brief summary, and then we're going to jump into it, all right? Our goal in the series is to hear God better, and there are some other voices that are competing with God's voice, and so we identified some other sources of voices on last week, and so we looked at six other voices that can impact our lives. And so the first voice that we thought about and talked about was the voice of Scripture. And of course, that's very clear. That's God's word. That's how he wants to primarily speak to us. And then the second voice, everybody say the second voice. The second voice is the voice of sin, because sin will talk to you. That's how you end up at devil level moments. Look at your neighbor and ask him, did you have a devil level moment this week? The voice of sin. And then we have the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit is either our spirit or the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. And that's a primary way of as well as God speaks to us. And then number four, we have the voice of Satan. We know he's real. We know he talks. And he spoke to Jesus. He'll speak to us. And then number five, we talked about the voice of society. And this is just the voices that are in our culture that we hear. And then the last voice that we focused on last week was the voice of our soul. And our soul consists of our mind, our will, our thoughts, how we feel, our imagination, our intellect. And that part of us, the voice of our soul, tends to speak the loudest, or we hear it the loudest, because it's where we process everything that happens to us. And so we focused last week on the voice of our soul, and we discovered that many people have holes in their soul. And what I mean by holes is pain and hurt and trauma and negative experiences. And we all have those. So last week we talked about the different ways that we've been hurt. And I'm not going to go back over that. And if you missed it, go back and watch it on last week. And so this week what I want to talk about is what happens when we function in hurt or we neglect hurt altogether. Because what I want to do, I'm going to be using my screen today just to help us. So here's the first take-home statement I want to go over, but I want you to read it with me. Say, long-term holes become spiritual strongholds. Say that with me. Say, long-term holes become spiritual strongholds. Amen. Long-term holes. In other words, we have holes, but we let them stay. It's like a sore that you don't tend to, and it moves from a sore to an infection. Well, long-term holes become spiritual strongholds. So let's jump into the lesson by asking the question this morning. How does a hole develop into a stronghold? Which brings us now to our first point. Everybody say, how does a hole turn into a stronghold? It's when thoughts come down and we don't throw them down. How does a hole, when we have holes in our souls, struggles, issues, traumas, hurt, and pain, how do those things develop into strongholds? Well, they do so when thoughts come down and we don't throw them down. So I'm going to have Bruce to come, and I'm going to try to illustrate this point right here. Because the problem with most of us, we don't pay attention to what we're thinking. So this ball here represents a negative thought. Let's say that negative thought is, you'll never get married. How many have heard that thought again? Have anybody heard that thought? That's all, only two? How many know that a lot of people in here are lying? How many know that? Okay, let me use a different one. You'll never get out of debt. How many heard that one? How many heard with that one? Okay. All right. So let me show you what most people do when those negative thoughts come down. Because remember, Satan is the prince of the air. Words are spirit. That's why you don't see them coming out of my mouth. So go ahead and allow that thought to come, Bruce. Go ahead and throw that thought up. Okay. All right. Do it again. Throw it higher. Do it higher. Do it higher. Okay. Look. Now that's what we do. Let's read the point again. Are you ready? Read it. When thoughts come down, we don't. So if it's not a thought from God, what I need to do, let's do it again. The thought needs to come. When I realize what the thought is, you'll never get married. I have to drop that thought. Now, I'm going to show you next week on what to do. Go ahead. Thank you, Bruce. Give him a hand clap. Because what we should do, and I'll show you partially in today's message what to do with it, but let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "For though you and I walk in the flesh, we do not fight after the flesh." Why? Because the weapons that we fight with, they're not carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not human, but they are mighty through God. And these weapons allow us to do what to strongholds? Pull them down, casting down imaginations. Imaginations are nothing but words that have turned into pictures. And that's why people worry. They see something that hasn't happened yet. He says, cast down imaginations and every high thing, watch this, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then these weapons allow us to bring into captivity, read these next two words with me, what? Every thought. Everybody say every thought. Okay, so if we're supposed to bring into captivity every thought, that means we must be paying attention to what we're thinking. He says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then he says, and after we've done that, and having in a readiness to revenge our disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, listen, God can't take care of who's disobeying until you surrender to obeying. Listen to the voice translation. He says, "But though we walk in the world, we do not fight according to the world's rules of warfare. The weapons of the war we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at tearing down the strongholds erected against this truth." Notice now what the point of these strongholds and these thoughts are. It's to try to come against the truth of God's word. He says in verse 5, "We are demolishing arguments and ideas, every high and mighty philosophy," watch this, "that puts itself against the what? Against the knowledge of the one true God." He says, we are taking prisoners of every thought, every emotions, because what we're talking about, these demonic and these thoughts that we're talking about, they get filtered through how we feel as well. He says, we're taking prisoners every thought, every emotion, and we're subduing them into obedience to the anointed one. And as soon as you choose obedience, look at your neighbor and say, you need to choose obedience. As soon as, notice it didn't say until you feel obedience. He says, when you choose obedience, we stand ready to punish every act of what? Of disobedience. So I want you to look at the second take home statement. If you don't manage thoughts, they will manage you. Let's read that together. If you don't manage thoughts, they will manage you. Church, if you and I don't manage thoughts, they will manage you. Now, I want you to notice what I said versus what I didn't say. What I said is, if you don't manage thoughts, they will manage you. What I did not say is, if you don't manage your thoughts, they will manage you. You say, well, what's the difference? Because every thought that you have is not yours. Did you hear what I said? Every thought that you and I have, they're not all our thoughts. Remember now, we have six sources of voices, and all of these voices are talking. And the problem is, we haven't learned how to discern between whose thoughts are who. So when thoughts are not properly managed, they will manage you. And the goal of the enemy, watch this now, is for us to not manage our thoughts properly so that they can sit and ferment. And this is how, watch this now, this is how a thought goes from a hole to a stronghold. It's when we let them sit and ferment. As long as, listen, a thought has power as long as it sits and you do nothing with it. Say amen to that. And these thoughts that come are trying to supersede God's thoughts. And that's why 2 Corinthians 10 says, bring into captivity every thought. Amen. And that's why, church, and I'm going to keep saying it, we have to renew our souls. We have to renew our minds with the Word of God. Why? Because when my mind is renewed with the Word, it can recognize the thoughts that, listen, that are trying to trespass my soul. See, when the enemy sends thoughts, he has purpose behind them. And what he's trying to do is cause some thoughts that will damage your soul to trespass your soul. This past week, I came into the office. And normally when I come in, I just come straight in and I go around to the back. Well, this past Wednesday, I felt led. And I don't even come on in on Wednesdays, but I needed to do something. And so when I came in, I felt led to go around the building. So I go around the building and I see a car sitting right over here in the corner, close by the pond. It don't look like a car that needs to be on the property. So I see someone with the window rolled down, arm in the window. So I pull up and rolled my window down and said, "Hey, you all right?" "Yeah, I'm all right." I said, "Well, you can't sit here." And he said, "But it's a church." I said, "I know it's a church, but we ain't having church, so you gotta go." And he said, But I'm just sitting here." I said, "I understand you're just sitting here, but we're not having church and you have to leave. I need you to take off." So then I could tell he and I is getting ready to have. Now I have Buddy with me. I always have Buddy. Buddy is with me. The Lord is with me and Buddy is too. So he's, I said, "Listen, man, now let me just help y'all." Because you said, "Pastor, why are you being mean?" You can see it as mean until you, like we have, caught people back there having sex on our parking lot. See, people don't care if this is a church. Sitting up back there having, ask Pastor Jonathan, he caught him right in it. Right in there. So now you're not sitting here smoking weed or whatever you're going to do. You're not doing it here. So finally, I was like, "Look, man, you have to take off." And he was like, "Well," I said, "I tell you what, if I have to tell you one more time, I am calling the police on you." He just sat there. I said, "Well, I'm going to let you hear the conversation." So I dialed 911 and I let it come through the speaker in my car. 911, what's your emergency? I said, "I have somebody on our property trespassing." They said, "Well, can you describe him?" So I look and I said, "Yeah, he's so-and-so and he's so-and-so. He's so-and-so." "Well, how old are they?" I said, "How old are you, man?" He didn't want to tell me how old he was, so I just guessed that. I said, "Do you want his license plate?" I backed up and read him the license plate. They said, "Would you like to send a squad car?" I said, "Send them as soon as possible." And then I hung up. I gave them the address. I said, "Look, you can sit here if you want to, but the police are on the way." I did not wait to see if he left. I did not even wait on the police. Why? Because I had put in an order that trespassing was taking place, and the proper authorities to get him off the property was on the way. Well, listen, I said that to say that when you and I experience negative thoughts, we have to let those thoughts know you are trespassing. No, God's word doesn't say that. God's word doesn't say that. Say amen to that. So here is what should happen when these negative experiences, this trauma, this rejection, this abandonment, when these things happen, when these painful events take place, listen, our first line of defense should be the Word of God. Amen. In other words, listen, church, pain can't get in unless we let it in. We are the gatekeepers of our own soul, nobody else. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're the gatekeeper of your own soul." In fact, church, let me be honest with you. Some of the pain that we are experiencing never should have got in. Amen. And unfortunately, what you don't know can hurt you. So that brings us now to our second point. Are you all focused today? Let's read our second point together. Discernment decides your direction. Let's say it again. Discernment decides your direction. Here's the problem, church. These voices are talking to our soul, and we don't take the time to discern who's talking to us. And when your mind is not renewed, and that's why I'm going to keep saying this, all the voices that talk to you sound alike. When your mind is not renewed according to the word, when these voices talk to you, they're going to all sound alike. And here's the bad part about these voices. They're going to sound like it's you. And one of the reasons I believe that many of us can't discern between the thoughts of the enemy and our thoughts, it's because, watch this now, this is about to touch your neighbor and say, this is about to get deep right here. It's because many of us are married to our emotions. Some of us are married to how we feel to the point that we will not relinquish our emotional positions even if it jeopardizes our peace. Now you may be saying, Pastor, how in the world can a person be married to their own soul, to their own emotions, to how they feel? How can they be married? Well, let's look at in the natural. In the natural, what's the main act that spiritually and naturally solidifies a marriage? What do? They make what? Vows. I promise to do this. I promise to do this. In sickness and in health. How many make some vows in your marriage? All right? All right. So once you make vows, those vows acknowledge what you're committing to the relationship. Well, people who are married to how they feel, they've made vows to themselves. I will never. See, some of you, you made some vows because you were overly whooped by your mama. Then look at your neighbor and say, is he talking about my mama in my face? No, some of you were overly disciplined by your mama. She whooped you with the first thing she saw. So you vowed to never whoop your kids, and now your kids whooping you. Let me get off the mamas. Happy Mother's Day to my mama. I know she's watching right now. Maybe you experienced a bad relationship. Watch this. So you vow to never allow anybody to hurt you again. And you wonder why when you meet people and you want to connect, you can't because your soul won't let you. Let's say you got hurt in church. And you vowed, I'll never trust another church person again in my life. I'll never go to church. The problem is, when you make a vow like that, you have also vowed to not have a relationship with Christ because he's the head of the church. So here's the problem, church, when we are married to ourselves, it becomes idolatry. That's why it's called idolatry. Yes, sir. Because it's centered around I. Me, myself, and I. And idolatry is the worship of a false god. So when our emotions are on the throne, we become our own god. And did you know that when we do that, we have put ourselves on the throne instead of God? Amen. Galatians 5 talks about emotions, and it talks about idolatry. And a lot of times we make idolatry a spiritual thing, which it does impact that, but idolatry is a work of the flesh. Listen to Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. The works of the what? Works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. What's the next word, church, in verse 20? Idolatry. So idolatry is a work of the flesh. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 tells us, he says, flee from idolatry. Why? Because you and God can't be on the throne at the same time. Some of you all, your emotions is your God to a certain, to a level where if God is telling you not to do something, you won't listen to him. Amen. So let me give you an example of when hurt happens, how we should respond. Let's say you wrongly accused me of something. Let's say you do that and you done told 2 and 3 and 4 people and they done got back to me and they all said the same thing, which tells me you said it. Then you go on social media and you decide to do a post and you say everything but my name. Say my name, say my name. So I know you're talking about me. So I have two choices. I can respond in the flesh or I can respond to the word. Now, if I respond in the flesh, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get upset. Then I'm going to figure out what really happened. And then I'm going to throw the covers off for you. And then I'm going to get on social media. I'm going to do my own post. Everybody say that's foolishness right there. So I can respond in the flesh or I can respond according to the word. Well, the word says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 in the New Living Translation, if another believer sins against you, it says go public. What did it say, church? Go how? So why are you talking to everybody except for to the person? It didn't say go public. He says go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you. Take some witnesses. And so everything that, you know, may be said and be confirmed by 2 or 3 witnesses, if the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. And if they won't listen to the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan. So if I'm going to follow the word, I have to do it the word's way. But in either case, if I am going to walk in a spiritual way, if I'm going to keep a hole from developing, then I'm going to have to do a spiritual act called forgiveness. If we choose to not forgive the person, a hole starts in our soul. So I have another take-home statement for you right here. Let's see. Let's read this one together. A hurt doesn't have to become a hole, but many hurts become holes because we're not managing it the word's way. Amen. If somebody calls you out of your name, why are you letting it bother you? You know what your name is. Amen. And that's why we must properly manage thoughts, because if we don't, that hurt will become a hole. Everyone say this with me. Everybody say, thoughts can't sit, or they will ferment. You know what fermenting means, right? That's how cucumbers become pickles. They put them in a jar, they put stuff in there, and they let them ferment. And what will eventually happen is those cucumbers will turn into pickles, right? Well, here's the question. What is a stronghold? Because many people function with strongholds and they don't know what they are. A stronghold is a deep-rooted mindset. It's a lie or a sinful pattern that opposes the truth. It's like a castle. And somebody, a castle is considered a stronghold, but it's there to protect what's in it, right? Yes. And so a stronghold happens when a thought, belief, or behavior becomes so deeply entrenched in somebody that it exerts control over that person. In fact, this is good right here, because repetition is a stronghold's best friend. When you do something over and over, when you don't forgive over and over, when you get upset over and over, when you emotionally allow your flesh to rile up, when you do that over and over, all you're doing is creating a pattern for stronghold to exist. And once a person has a stronghold, it often causes them to resist the truth, to resist change, and to stay in the bondage. Amen. So, when a thought that is not true is presented, if we allow it to linger, church, or we negotiate with it, then we lose the fight to that thought. And that's what happened to Eve. Eve, when the enemy came to her, she negotiated with him. And through her negotiations, watch this, she allowed to believe what he said to her. Say amen to that. Have you ever thought about what made her eat the fruit? You know what really made her eat the fruit? Is that she decided to believe the devil's word over God's word. Which now brings us to our last thought right here. Here's our last thought. Let's read it together. We must persist to resist. See, that's what you do with negative thoughts. They don't go away. You got to do something with them. And so we have to persist to resist. You know what it means to persist. When you didn't want to give him your phone number, but he kept pressing you. He was persistent. Amen. Everybody say persistent. So watch this now. I love this scripture right here. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Read this with me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's read that part again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What did it tell us to do? Resist the devil and he will flee. So you can't resist until you submit. Because James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And the word submit means to be under obedience. So I can't resist until I first submit. Everybody say, I can't resist until I first submit. And here's the sad reality. If we don't resist the devil, if we don't submit to God and resist the devil, we'll end up, watch this, in a position where God resists us. Because on one, you on somebody's side now. Are you going to be on the devil's side? Are you going to let your mind be on the devil's side? Or are you going to let God be on God's side? Because if you become and you get on the devil's side, the Bible says God resists. Watch this now. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. God does. For he says, God resists who? The proud. Well, who's a proud person? Somebody who refuses to do it God's way. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw close to God and he will draw close to you. I love that. So church, it's time to resist. We must resist the devil and he will flee. Here's the problem. We resist one time and feel like we've done our job. I mean, how many times did you resist that man before you gave him your phone number? Right? But see, the problem is, it didn't tell us how many times we needed to resist. It said for us to resist. And here's the thing, we can do it. You know why we can do it? Because Jesus did it. The Bible says in Matthew 4, it says that the devil came to Jesus 3 different times, and all 3 times Jesus responded the same way. He says, it is written. So now, when that negative thought says, you will never get married, you can drop the thought. Well, you say, well, how do I drop it? Here we go. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to drop it like it's hot. Go on and tell them. When the thought comes, let me tell you what to do. You drop the thought and then you say out loud with your mouth, no, God said he will give me the desires of my heart. And if I delight myself in him, that's what he's going to do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what the scripture says. The Bible says, when I ask, believe that I receive, and I shall have them. So it might not come when I want him, but he's always on time. And so I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. And in all of my ways, I am going to acknowledge him. And so, Father, I thank you right now that that negative thought reminded me that I need to trust you with my husband. And so, Lord, right now, I'm going to take the opportunity to pray for my husband. Lord, I thank you that he's a man of God. I thank you, Father, that he walks with you and he talks with you. I thank you that my man of God, my husband, my Boaz, he knows your voice and he responds to it. I thank you that my husband is a tither. I thank you that he is blessed, that everything his hands touch. See, y'all don't want no husband. You want a man. You don't want a man of God. Amen. So let's apply this real quick. How are we going to apply this word? Everybody say from holes to strongholds. Here's the application. Let me see if we put application up here. Okay, here's the first one right here. Well, you have to pay attention to what you're thinking. Don't be just sitting there like la la land. Devil telling you all kind of stuff. Girl, you're gonna be broke for the rest of your life. What? No, the devil is a lie. So number one, you gotta pay attention to what you're thinking. Number two, you have to choose faith over the flesh so that you can overcome the holes. Number three, you must watch this now. This is good. You must renounce any vows that you have made to yourself that keeps you tied to these negative experiences. Go back and ask yourself, okay, what vows have I made? And then number four, you must submit yourself to God by getting off the throne so God can get on it and stay on it. Did y'all get something out of the message today? So I believe by the Spirit of God, with every head bowed, there are some people, you have been on the throne of your soul. And the whole point of renewing your soul with the word is so God can be on the throne of your soul. I think he's challenging you this morning to dethrone yourself. Throne the word of God. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. But most of all, thank you, Father, that your word has shed some light and it's a lamp so that, Father, we can walk out of here with a new level of conviction, but Father, also with a spiritual position that's powerful. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will cause every person who's watching and listening today to be sensitive and be discerning of every thought that they encounter. And Father, help them to discern which ones are the enemy and which ones are yours in the name of Jesus. If you're here today with every head still bowed, if you're here today.